Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Netziv on Parshas Noach. So I've been slowly getting into the Netziv, slowly researching the Netziv, and trying to figure out a little bit about what his commentary is all about. There are many creative aspects of his commentary, and this week we will study a number of his comments that really are very original in terms of his explanation for various famous issues, and very creative and very original, and very mechudash, not only original, but radical, I would say. I'm going to focus on four primary themes throughout the shiur tonight. There's four topics which we're going to elaborate on. The first is a very, very famous, a very famous comment of the Chumash, but the Netziv has an interesting take on it where I don't recall seeing anybody else speak in this way. And he puts together a number of interesting comments. There is a very, very well-known comment of Chazal that Noach is called Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayo Bedorosav. He's a Tzadik Tamim. So the question is, what does the Torah mean to indicate the fact that Noach was a tzaddik tamim? What's the difference between a regular tzaddik and a tzaddik tamim? One of the hallmarks of the Netziv's commentary, I am learning, and I'm learning it just like you are. I'm no expert in the Netziv. We're learning it every week. But one of the things you'll notice in the Netziv's commentary, I've noticed so far, is he's very careful about the words. Every word has significance. He doesn't just gloss over things. He's very perspicacious, we would say. That's an SAT word, meaning, you know that I like to say that word a lot, perspicacious. Attention to detail, pays attention to detail. Oh, see, we even get some help with the SATs here when you come to the shiur. Let's read the Netziv's comment on Tamim Haya B'dorosav. Tzadik Mashmusohu Ben Adam LaShamayim. So the Netziv understands that a tzaddik means your relationship with Hashem. Your relationship with Hashem, you could be defined as a tzaddik. The Rasha hu lehepech, okay, Rasha means you don't have a good relationship with Hashem. Aval, tzaddik, tamim. Meshameshu tzaddik, gamein adam lechaveiro. That's the way the Netziv understands. Tzaddik means between man and God. Tzaddik, tamim means not only do you take care of your cheshbon between man and God, you also take care of your cheshbon with other people. We of course know that this doesn't necessarily follow. We know many people who take care of their accounts with God, so to speak, but when it comes to interacting with people, they are not nearly as righteous. People don't tend to associate being a good person and being an honest person and a scrupulous person and someone who's very careful with their speech, how they speak to others. People don't usually associate that with religion, with righteousness in the religious sense. And the Netziv is actually going to come back to this theme a number of times in tonight's shiur, that there's a difference between a person being a good person versus a religiously good person. It's a difference. But here he says that part of your religious experience is also the way you interact with other people. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's not just morals, but it's part of your religious persona as well. Now, the next paragraph that I have here that I quote for you, for those of you who are here, you have the sheets here. I have photocopied sheets. Maybe I could put it up on Zoom also. I probably could put it up there also. Maybe let's do that. Give me one second. We'll put this up on, see if I could get it up on the share the screen, see if it works. Sorry. No, don't do that. See if we can share the screen and see if it'll work. Where is that? No. Give me one second. Let's see if we can get it here. If those of you who are observing on Zoom, can you now see the Netziv, the sheet? Do you see the Netziv in front of you, the Netziv's commentary? Do you see it? Yeah, you see it? Great. Okay.
Yes.
So the next paragraph is actually from the Herchev Dover. The Netziv wrote a commentary called Hamek Dover, and then he also wrote an expanded notes called the Herchav Dover. And here he elaborates on this idea. V'cheinu lashon chazal brachos, the mechalek being tzadik v'tovlo v'tzadik l'ralo. There's a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Hey that discusses that there's such a thing called tzadik v'tovlo and tzadik v'ralo. And the Gemara says, right, there's one pasuk that talks about tzadik v'ralo and one pasuk called tzadik v'tovlo. Says Gemara, how come sometimes the tzadik is tzadik v'tovlo and sometimes tzadik is tzadik v'ralo? So the Gemara says, kan b'tzadik gomor v'kan b'tzadik she'eno gomor. If you're a tzadik gomor, then it's going to be tzadik. Then it's going to be tzadik v'tovlo. If you're a tzadik she'eno gomor, it's going to be tzadik v'ralo. What's a tzadik gomor and what's a tzadik she'eno gomor? So then the Nitziv claims, ma'o gomor ma'o she'eno gomor. Aval inyan yivor al pi ha'mikra b'yishaya. Parak Gimel, Imru Tzadik Ki Tov. Tell the Tzadik it's good, Ki Pri Ma'aleim Yochelo. Now we have a third reference, that there's a Tzadik that you tell that things are good, and he even gets to eat his reward in this world. A Tzadik for whom it's good, Imru Tzadik Ki Tov, Ki Pri Ma'aleim Yochelo. Oy L'Rasha Ra, Ki Gmol Yadav Yasalo. V'amr al zeh b'kiddushin daf mem. Another Gemara he puts together. That's another salient point about the Nitziv's commentary. He's always using Gemaras and Mamari Chazal from Torah Shebaal Peh to explain the Torah Shebaal Ksav. He's always bringing Mamari Chazal to the Nitziv. The fluidity between Torah Shebaal Ksav and Torah Shebaal Peh, let's say, as opposed to some of the other commentaries who look at Pshuto Shel Mikra and don't usually rely on the Gemara or the Midrashim to necessarily explain the Nitziv, maybe like the Ksava Kabbalah we did one year, maybe like the Malbim, like many others, always uses the Torah Shebaal Peh. Great to see you, Jay. The Torah Shebaal Peh, and explain Torah Shebaal Ksav. So here again, he puts together a Gemara in Brachos, and now he's got a third Gemara, a Gemara in Kiddushin, V'chiyesh Tzadik Tovitov, V'chiyesh Tzadik She'enetov. What does it mean, Imru L'Tzadik Kitov? Tell the tzaddik that he's good, and since he's good, he's going to get to eat his fruits in this world. That implies there's a tzaddik who's good who gets to eat his fruit in this world, and there's a tzaddik who's not so good who doesn't get to eat his fruit in this world. Ella, so the Gemara in Kiddushin says the same thing. He puts all these things together. Ella tov l'shamayim v'tov l'brio zeu tzaddik tov. If you're good to Hashem and you're good to people, that's a tzaddik tov, and such a person is going to get to eat his reward even in this world. If you're not only good to Hashem, but you're good to other people also, then you're going to get to eat pri ma'aleim even in this world. Tov l'shamayim v'ra l'brios zeu tzadik she'eino tov kayotzi b'zeh. Oy l'rosh ha'ra, that's the end of that pasuk in Yishayo. Oy l'rosh ha'ra, v'chiyesh rosh ha'ra v'yesh she'eino ra. Is there a bad rasha and a good rasha? El ra l'shamayim v'ra l'brios zeu rosh ha'ra. L'manu, the tzadik she'tov l'shamayim v'l'brios olav neraki pri ma'aleim yochelu. A tzaddik that's good to Hashem and to people will get to eat his reward even in this world. And then I don't have the whole quote here, but the Harach of Davri goes on to say that a Rasha also, if he's good to people in this world, he'll also get reward in this world. So the one thing that's, so this is just stam interesting, that there's something called a tzaddik gomor and a tzaddik she'eno gomor. There's something called a tzaddik tov and a tzaddik lo tov. And the Nitziv puts these two things together, even though it's two different words, but the Nitziv says it's all talking about the same thing, that in general, people tend to associate righteousness with your relationship with Hashem, but how you treat people, that's not necessarily associated with religious righteousness, and the Nitziv is trying to make a very good point, which probably beautifully dovetails, maybe not. We didn't really spend so much time talking about this last week, about the Nitziv talking about the Sefer HaYashar, that Bereishis is the Sefer HaYashar, the famous Nitziv, where he talks about Yasha means someone who cares about people even who disagree with him. Yasha means a person who cares about the kiyum of the world. He wants the world to exist, and he realizes that even people not like him need to exist. And by the way, that's going to be another theme of the Nitziv this week. We're going to talk a lot about the Nitziv's perspective on people who don't agree with you, or the Nitziv's perspective on people who don't do the right thing, but they have a right to live also, even if people don't do the right thing. That's what he called the Yashar, Yasharim. But there's one point that needs to be elaborated on, aside from this point that, okay, and, you know, that we all know there's two halves to the luchos, right? There's Ben Amla, Malkim Ben Amla Chaver, it doesn't sound like such a big chiddush. But in the world around, people don't view moral obligations to other people as religious, as part of religious obligation. But here the Nitziv points out one other thing. Because if you take this, I saw Rabbi Adlerstein, just happened upon, he asked this question. He says, well, if you do the math, basically, so if you're a Russia who's Tov Labrios, you're also going to get your award in this world. So what's the point of being a Tzad? What are we saying that, oh, a Tzadik Tamim is going to even get his award in this world? Even a Russia Tamim gets his reward in this world, according to this calculation. It's a Russia Ra who's not going to get it in this world, but a Russia who's good to people, he's also going to get reward in this world, according to the Herech of Dover. So what's the explanation? So he says beautifully, you have to look at the next Netziv. The next Netziv is the secret, and it's also the secret to understanding why Noach was uniquely blessed with being saved from the Mabul. And listen to this beautiful exposition of the Netziv in the next piece. Es ha'elokim, Hishalech Noach. Es ha'elokim Hishalech Noach. V'lo shehaya tov ha'mezeg b'tivo. Wow. The Netziv understands on this word, Es ha'elokim Hishalech Noach, right? Again, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya. Tzadik tamim means he was even good to people. Tamim haya b'doro sav. Es ha'elokim Hishalech Noach. Noach walked with God. What does that mean, Noach walked with God? Says the Netziv, you know what that means? Creative pshat that you won't find anywhere else. He says, Es ha'elokim Hishalech Noach means that Noach was not born naturally this way. He was not born naturally this way. He's someone who worked on himself. That's what the Netziv sees in the words, Es ha'elokim Hishalech Noach. He walked with God, meaning it took him effort and energy to walk with God to refine his moral character and fiber such that he was nice to people and he was a good person. It wasn't his nature. Well, let's read it together. V'lo shahaya tov ha'mezeg b'tivo. V'im kein af agav shemi kol makom roi hoya l'kabes chalem bo'olam hazeh. Even though, says the Netziv, it's true that he was not only good to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was also good to people, and for that alone, maybe he would have been ra'oi to receive his reward in this world. But what allowed Noach to receive such a reward that not only did he receive his reward in this world, but he was above and beyond and was able to attain protection from the flood in such a dramatic way to break the rules of nature? Because he broke his nature. That's what Netziv said. He broke his nature. Because he broke his nature, he was uniquely qualified to be blessed by God, to be saved in such an unbelievably miraculous and above nature kind of a way. Mikomako, Eino Elohagin Olav B'derech HaTeva. His schar, if he was naturally good, that and he did like his nature, so that would have protected him from natural disasters. Aval lo b'makom sakana v'sheyesh rischa ba'olam k'mo b'sha'as ha'mavol. That wouldn't have been enough. Just if he was naturally born that way, and he was a nice guy who was naturally born that way, that wouldn't necessarily have been enough to defend him in such a time. Aval Noach hayatov labrios behisgabros altivo. Noach's nature was not to be good to people. He wasn't a naturally nice, laid-back, calm, sensitive, caring person. He wasn't born that way. Rather, he became that way. Virak l'shem Hashem. He wasn't naturally that way. This is going to be a theme of tonight's shiur. That there are some people who are just naturally moral, ethical people. But Noach wasn't necessarily a naturally moral, ethical person. He viewed his moral and ethical responsibility out of a religious point of view, and his connection and attachment to Hashem is what forced him to become a moral and ethically upright person. It wasn't just natural. And this is so interesting that the Netziv is pointing an emphasis on this.
Does he have any source for it?
Wow.
Do we want to wish for children with bad inclinations
and things? No, okay, good question, Barry. Good question. Let's just read the end of this. Avonore biskabas a virak l'shem Hashem, she yoda ki kachu ritzono yisparach. He knew that's what Hashem wanted him to be. Umishumhachi kedai ha'elios nitzal b'hashkacha pratis, and therefore Noach merited the saving of the hashkacha pratis afilu be'es ha'shetef, even when the world was being destroyed. Kashiv or zeh klal ha'alan perek chavav pasuk chavav chosayim bebirkas shem v'yevas. He's going to talk about this all throughout the parasha. So Barry, I would say that the message is not so much that you're supposed to wish for kids who don't naturally have good midos, so they can get even more reward. But the idea is, first of all, I think the very important idea here is that a person doesn't have to be consigned when he's born, if he's born as an angry young man, in the words of the great Billy Joel. If he's an angry young man, so then if he's born as an angry young man, he doesn't have to be that way forever. You don't have to be that way. And actually, hopefully, the goal of Yiddishkeit, one of the primary goals of Yiddishkeit, is by learning Torah and by connecting to Bein Adam LaMakom, that's supposed to be mashpi on the way you're being Bein Adam LaChaver also. Derachecha Darchei Noam, we say, V'chol Nisivoseha Shalom. The paths of the Torah are supposed to be paths. This is very in line with what the Netziv talked about last week, about the Sefer Bereishis being a Sefer HaYashar, that part of being a Jew is respecting people who are different than you, and having being tolerant of people who don't have the same view as you, and being respectful and learning how to become a refined. The Torah is supposed to refine an individual. If you have a person who's a Talmid Chacham who's not a refined individual, he's not a nice person, he's not a caring, sensitive, kind person, he's missing out on the whole point of what the Torah is supposed to do to a person. So this is item number one. Let's.
He says, when we read in the Torah with the trump, tzaddik has a sefer under it, so it like stops it. So it's a separate, you know. So he evidently puts it.
Interesting. Yeah, Joe is pointing out that the trump doesn't exactly support this pshat. No, ish tzaddik. There's a sefer dago sefer, right? Tzaddik. There's like a pause. Tamim hayo b'dorosam. So the tamim is not together with the tzaddik. Interesting. Interesting ha'ara. I like that ha'ara. Very nice ha'ara. I don't know. That would seem to indicate a different. Oh, let's go on to idea number two. Idea number two is putting together a number of pieces, really the next whole bunch of pieces of you know, and he alludes here to the question of what actually caused the world to be destroyed. What type of corruption? What type of sin and corruption? And here the Netziv doesn't really diverge from Chazal and many other commentaries, but he has an interesting take. Let's begin with, and again, I cut out the whole bunch of other pieces that talk about the same thing, but Vatimaleh Haaretz Chamas, says the Netziv, Hashchasa HaKodem Garam Shinismaleh Haaretz Chamas Vishod Tamid Diznus Gorim kilayun tvuas hasada kidisnan shili mesechasota. A piece of the Netziv would not be complete without a quote from the Talmud, without a quote from the Gemara. We all know the Gemara in Sota says that when people engage in licentious, inappropriate sexual behavior, this causes the land to not produce its proper produce. When the people are not producing normally, the land doesn't produce normally. This is something that apparently I didn't look up the Gemara. But the Gemara in the end of Sota quotes as Nus Vakishuv Kolu Es Hakol V'Hachi Tanan B'Meseches Avos. Again, I didn't have time to research that today. I had a little bit of a difficult day, but V'Oso Ador. Oh, now so in other words, when people are corrupt with the sin of Znus, that causes the land not to produce. So you'd think once the land is not producing and there's a famine and there's a lack of money, so the reaction of Klai Yisrael should be to call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tshuva. That's what we should do. So what happened here after the Znus? So the Znus was the first punch. And what the Znus caused, the famine. And what happened after the famine? What happened to the famine? What did everyone start doing? What do people start doing in the famine when there's no money? What does everyone start doing? They start stealing. And then people get stolen from. So that's the 1-2 punch that Netziv says that destroyed the world. Look what he says. V'oso hador lo higiu machmas onesh harav lidei tshuva. Right, when something bad happens to a person, when there's famine, when let's say a person gets stricken with a lack of parnasa or issues with That's he's supposed to view that as a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to call out the tshuva. Right, we learned in last week's parsha about the rain and the right kilo himtir, the rain. Only Hashem created the world in a way that the grass needs rain to grow because He wanted us to have to daven for it. Right, we talked last week. The Netziv talked about how man is dependent upon Hashem for his parnasa, and how important that is to focus on your parnasa. To focus your tefillah, I think, if I remember correctly, the Netziv last week said that the main point of tefillah is parnasi. Had some lashon like that. That's what the main point of it. That's why tefillah is called avoda, right? Because that's your avoda comes as a result of your tefillah. I remember that from last week. The Netziv said, but let's continue. So he says, but here they didn't respond. They didn't respond. Loikiu el lehepech. That's like the way people normally act in a famine. Rachmana litzlan. The gezel v'zakas anashim goreim lahoyer din shamayim harbe ki yodua. And stealing, and the cries of people who were stolen from, awaken God's wrath ki yodua. We all know this. You and I, we all know this. Another Gemara. Gemara in Sanhedrin says, right? Lo nechtam gzardinam el ala gezel. It was on the stealing, but then it points out it's doubly bad. So there's two issues here. Number one, stealing by itself is bad. Okay, but people steal all the time. But then it says it wasn't just that the stealing was the reason for the destruction of the world. It was the famine that came on the heels of the znus. And they didn't get the message. They didn't get the message. They just became even worse. They became even worse. So it's one thing to do bad, but then it's another thing not to take ownership. Not to take ownership over the problem. We have this in yeshiva all the time. Right? A kid does something wrong, right? A kid does something wrong in yeshiva. So everyone does something wrong. Everybody does things wrong. Nobody's perfect. But what do you want? Take ownership over it. Admit it. Face it. Take ownership. The mabul had to happen, not just because of what people were doing. It's because people took no responsibility for what they were doing. So it was going to be a never-ending spiral. It was going to be a never-ending spiral. That's the way the Netziv understands what happened at the time of the mabul. Let's continue. Vayara lokim asarz v'nei nishchasa ki hishchis. The double language. Hachem yibayi, vayar elkim ki hishkas kobasa. What do you mean, vayar elkim es aretz? I got to get the psukim here. Right, vayar. Yeah, let me get it. Hold on a second. He says, right, vayar elkim es aretz v'inei nishchasa ki hishkas. What do you mean? It should have, pasuk should have just said, Vayar Elokim ki hishchis kol baser stakar al aretz. What do you mean? Vayar Elokim esa aretz ki nishchasa. Why ki hishchis? Ah, so that's the same point. Hachem yibayi vayar elokim ki hishchis kol baser el hachem birusho. Shera ki gam admas aretz nishchasa mitiva. She had to be a bor yisbach lahasik mazal chabrum v'nei avda kocha. The land lost its natural ability to produce, which Hashem had imbued the land with. Why? Because it is nus, like he said in the last piece. When man goes against nature by doing gili arayos, so that causes the world to go against its nature. Kikal Daria Yesh La Teva Miuchedes Bimzona Sev Avaroy Lovakach Teva Adama Shayim Alea Ukamosh Kosafti Lael Bez Zion Yotes Aval Kasher Shisu Bidar Los Kol Amina Maidea Kava Zoros. That's Gilei Arayos. It's Tivam V'dak and Lars. Me'melu Nishchas Adam Lefneim. Oh. So this is the second idea about how, again, aside from the Znus causing the land to be corrupt and then the Gezel being the one-two punch, but I think the other important lesson here is take ownership. Everybody's going to do something wrong, but you have to take ownership. We can't then try to like add insult to injury by when things go bad. So then people tend to like lose their balance, lose perspective, and don't react the right way, you know, to the problems, and people get into this downward spiral. That's the most dangerous thing. Avera goreres avera. It says in Chazal, avera goreres avera. You have to watch out for the downward spiral. And when you feel yourself sliding, you got to just like grab onto something and just hold on and say, oh, okay, someone's trying to give me a message. Someone's trying to send me something. Let me try to figure it out. Let me try to grab onto it. Let me try to take a step back from where I am and not to get caught in the downward spiral. Okay. Oh, one little side point here. Beautiful pshat on Aseh Lecha. I never saw this pshat. And every year now, last 20 years, this is the 18th year, I think, of this parsha shir. 18 years, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. I think it was 1995 was the first year. Maybe it's 1995. What are we in now? We're going to in 2022. I think it's the 18th year. So, Baruch Hashem. Aseh Lecha. So we all familiar, right? We know Lech Lecha. That's the name. What does Rashi famously comment? Lech Lecha. Lahana Ascha or Lutov Ascha, right? Says the Netziv, Aseh Lecha can mean one of two things. That's the simple pshat. Aseh Lecha. For your benefit. Oh, This Tevo was definitely for Noach's benefit. There's no question about that. Aseh Lecha. But the Netziv says that's not what it means over here. Aseh Lecha. Tevas Lecha Misparsh Pam. Sometimes it means Lahanoscha Tavascha. Upam Misparsh Bifnei Atzmacha. Kemoshi Vur Lahalon Yud Beis Aleph. Right? Is Yud Beis Aleph? Is that Lech Lecha? I bet that's Lech Lecha. Is that Yud Beis Aleph? I believe it is, right? So we'll see. We have to remember next week. How does the Netziv translate Lech Lecha? We'll see what that means. So sometimes it means La'anoscha L'tovascha, but other times it means do it by yourself. Aseh Lecha, do it by yourself. I don't want you to have any help in doing this. Why was that so significant? Says the Netziv, Tevas Lecha Misparsh Pam, Upam Misparsh Bifnei Atzmacha, Kamosh Yivur, V'chan Yesh Lefarsh Bifnei Atzmacha. Wow, that's not how I would have translated it. And the Tziv says, Aseh Lecha means do it by yourself. I don't want you to have a whole team of architects and a whole building company. I don't want all of that for this Teva. I want you to sit there and do it by yourself, brick by brick, board by board. Don't involve anybody else. Do it by yourself. Why? Listen to the Tziv's fascinating take on that. V'chan yishvot b'fnei atzmacha. You don't need many craftsmen and many builders. Ela aseh lecha v'yehi nivneis be'ezer Hashem k'mo shehayav nivne beis habechira, the beis hamikdash. Whoa! V'hachi isa b'bereishis rabbin, and I apologize, I did not have time to look up this medrash. Again, one of these weeks I'm actually going to have some time to prepare for this. But it's still the beginning of the year, so I'm like mamish over my neck, over my head. But I was fascinated by this comparison of the building of the Teva to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the Netziv pointing out over here? So what he's clearly saying is that there was imperative here that Noah had to build it by himself, so that the world should see that this is a godly structure. He needs Hashem's help. Hashem's going to help him make it happen. It's a godly structure. I guess like Bezalel, clearly anyone who thought about the building of the Mishkan, everybody knew it was a religious edifice. So there was a need at the Teva. So this certainly reminds us of the famous Mamari Chazal that Hashem instructed Noach to build a Teva over 120 years. He didn't just give him a teva. He could have saved him a lot of ways. He wanted him to be involved in the building. He wanted him to be involved in the building so that the people of the generation should be interested and take a look and see what he was doing and say, hey, wait a second. Maybe we better do tshuva here. Maybe what's this guy building a teva? And look at him. He's building it with no architects, no building company. How's this happening? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam helping him. So it's already a spiritual structure, So that would help the tshuva process. That's, I guess, the simple pshat on what the Netziv is, although it is still striking that he compares the teva to the Beis HaMikdash. You know that there are Mamari Chazal that talk about how the creating of the Mishkan was like the creating of the world. There's a lot of parallels between the creating of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, and the creation of the world. So here you have the world is being recreated all over again, being destroyed and recreated. Maybe there's something in that. But I was just thinking of one other thing, actually. I saw somebody commenting on this also. I saw somebody commenting that, you know, Noach's kids were born. Noach started building the Teva, if you do the math, 20 years before his first child was born. He started building the Teva 20 years before his first child, because his kids were 100 by the time the Mabul came, and it took him 120 years to build the Mabul. So he started to build the Teva. So he started building the Teva 20 years before his kids were born. So maybe that's part of it also, that Noach clearly succeeded in implanting in his children. His children also were deserving to be saved. We'll see about Shem, Cham, and Yafes, but so maybe this idea of building wasn't just for the generation, it was also for that his kids should see. His kids should see that oh my gosh, how did it get to be 8:40 already? His kids should see this endeavor. Because, you know, I was reminded, you know, one of the most beautiful minhagim, I don't want to say minhagim, one of the most beautiful actions that I had this chus to participate in with my father, Zatzal, was the building of the sukkah. Every year the building of the sukkah was a whole family endeavor. It was, you know, me, my brothers, we built the sukkah, and now with my own kids, at least when they used to live in my house, the building of the sukkah was always a very special endeavor, because when the kids' hands get dirty with a mitzvah, when they get dirty with it, when they're involved. So I saw somebody said, maybe the idea here is that aseilcha, do it by yourself, meaning your family, your kids. He started at 20 years. The kids grew up with that sound of that hammer constantly building. The kids grew up on this. And the kids joined in. They joined in. They saw with their own eyes the emuna of their father. Not only did they see it, they felt it. They joined him, Mistama. They helped him build it. It was a family project. So this is important also, that the family should see the projects for the Rabbon Shalom, the building. They should get their hands dirty. The kids have to get their hands dirty with Yiddishkeit. They got to get involved. They got to deliver the Tomchei Shabbos packages. They got to build the sukkah. They got to go and volunteer for the organizations. They got to help. They got to get involved in the chassadim. You got to get the kids involved. Maybe that was part of the Aseh Lecha as well. How in the world? Okay. We're already near the end. Okay, we're going to have to skip a little bit. By the way, that's par for the course in this year. Those of you who have been with me for many years know we spend more time skipping than we actually spend learning. But I'll just summarize briefly the next four or five pieces is really the third idea that I wanted to discuss. The Netziv talks about very, very sharply and beautifully how Shem, Cham, and Yefes were prototypes for the three types of human beings that Hashem wanted the world to be populated with. Cham, he's the simple farmer. He's the simple farmer. I don't want to say negative things about farmers. It's probably politically incorrect to say those things now. But I'm just reading the Netziv. Let's just see it in one little piece here. One little piece, we'll see what he says. Here it is. Take a look at in Vayochel Noach. We just skip two pieces. The Netziv says, interestingly, that this whole deal with Noach getting drunk and Shem, Cham, and Yefes all have their reactions to Noach getting drunk. And they have three different reactions. So, take a look, two lines from the bottom on page 2. Avo Bazeh HaInyan, Shehiz Damin Mikra Echad Lefnei Shloshtan Ba'ofen Echad. He says a lot of times people are all different, so you can't really compare one person's actions to another person's actions. They all have different circumstances, they're all in different places. How can you compare? What are you going to say? Who's more from, the Jew who grew up in Bnei Brak or the Jew who grew up in Tinek? It's apples and oranges. Everybody's in a whole different world. If you take three people and give them the exact same circumstance and see how they react, then you could tell the differences in people because they're all in the same circumstance. Oh. He says, "I'll tell them this chavercha, shtigil them koma." Oh, but if they all had the same thing, everyone, you see their true colors. Al kein nasa roshem b'chol echad la'olam. Ki hu mokshav rodes kein. B'chol mishu adam pashut nikra ben cham. The simple people are called the cham people. U'mishu ish efrati v'seichel tivi roi likari ben yefes. Yefes symbolizes the intellectuals. Cham is the simple farmers. Yefes is the intellectuals. U'mishu ish eloki, and someone who is an ish eloki, someone who is a spiritual person, that's the roi likari ben shem. Oh, let's keep going. By Yarcham, if you can honest, Avras Aviv, Hera Bezesh, Lo Hirgish, Spilus Bezesh. So he showed that he wasn't moved. By Yarcham, if you can honest, Avras Aviv. He saw his father's erva, he got drunk, but it wasn't a sin. He was a simple guy. It was a simple guy, so he didn't get cursed. So he saw it, but he wasn't moved. It didn't move him. Vayikach Shem VaYefes, says the Nitziv, Shem was motivated by the mitzvah, and Yefes was motivated by the intellectual endeavor. Yefes said, "It's not correct. This person is lying, and he's uncovered. We have to do something." He says that Shem was the one who ran more because Shem was motivated by the spiritual dimension, and Yefes, as long as somebody was taking care of it, he's okay. It's done. It's not my mitzvah. He didn't act out of a sake of mitzvah. He said, as long as it gets done, so he acted out of morals. So it's a moral compunction. It's okay, he's covered over, so I don't have to get involved anymore. But Shem felt a personal religious obligation to get involved. And that's, he talks about the three different kinds of people. One little side point before we get to the final point, which is really the culmination, which is Gibor Tzayilath Hashem, the Nitziv. This is for homework. Unbelievable. The Nitziv says that Nebuchadnezzar and Nimrod, even though they were wicked people, performed a vital function for the world, and they were considered to be Ovdei Hashem. Even though they were wicked, Hashem needed their wickedness. He needed Nebuchadnezzar's wickedness to destroy the Beis HaMedrash, because that's what he wanted, and he needed Nimrod's wickedness to teach the world what it means to be a ruler, what it means to be a shalit. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He says, even though he was a Rosh Hashnikra Avdi, there's a pasuk that says Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. Because they did Ritzon Hashem. Even though they were wicked, nevertheless, it was Hashem's stick. Al Kein Yamar. Therefore it said, on a person who's a Rasha, but nevertheless Hashem likes what he's doing, V'zehu davar pela v'chidush, v'nemar lishkazeh, k'nimrod gibor tzayid lefnei Hashem. If you find a guy who's wicked, but Hashem likes what he's doing, that's Nimrod. Unbelievable. That's a whole nother schmooze. Barry's already chomping at the bit on that one. Sorry, Barry, I don't have time for that one. But for Rabosai, here's the coup de grace. Here's the coup de grace. We saved the best for last. This is also a very amazing, amazing Nitziv. The best for last. I'll scroll up here so you can see. The Tower of Bavel. What was the sin of the Tower of Babel? The Torah is very enigmatic. The Torah is very, I was looking for a different word. The Torah is, right, it's whatever, the word's not at the tip of my tongue, but the Torah, it doesn't say clearly at all what the Aveira was. Vayhi kol aretz safa echas udvarim achadim. Very, very strange, very, very strange language. What was the sin of the Tower of Babel? I'll put it in simply. You could see it here in front of you, but what was the Aveira? The Aveira was they all wanted to think the same way and speak the same way and do exactly the same things. That is something that the Ribbono Shel does not want. Shivim Panim LaTorah, there are 12 tribes. You're supposed to move and live all over the world. There's different drachim on Avodas Hashem. God does not want us all to be clones of each other. We've spoken about this in the Shir many times. That was the sin of Dvarim Achadim. Dvarim Achadim. Singular things. Single things. Take a look at his comments. Safech, all the same language. That was the sin. Because they're all going to want to live together. That's against the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem said, Shir Tzibaretz, spread out, go see the world, go live in different climates, go learn different things. And the last piece, Dvarim, lo b'yir ha'kasav ha'dvarim. Yeah, what were the Dvarim ha'chadim? What was the sins? Ela b'rem is b'mim sh'av, lo pirshin ha'kasav ki m'shal yu Dvarim ha'chadim. Ulam deinu, d'lo mishim ha'dvarim ha'sar ha'kasav. God didn't get upset because of the Dvarim. Ki im b'shvil sh'ayu ha'chadim. It was because the Dvarim were all the same Dvarim. The leaders of the time wanted to make sure everyone thinks like me, like Marxism or communism or fascism. Everyone has to think like me. Yiyu mashiyu. The davar ze imki lefi anira ein beze shum avon. Sounds like there's no avera. Adar rabba chibor atzavim gam kein roy lo niach. Avol kan garam lachshav davar sheizal kals ayishiv kasher yuvoar. And again, in many other pieces, the Netziv says this was the problem. Unity does not mean uniformity. Unity means the Jewish people have to have unity. You have your derech, you have your derech, you have your derech, you focus more on this. One person is focusing more on chesed, more on limudat Torah, more on ma'isim tovim, more on this. Hiddur mitzvah, whatever your expertise is. We believe in unity, but not uniformity. We're not all supposed to be dvar machadim. And as a matter of fact, the Netziv says in a later comment, the reason why they had this big tower was because the rulers should be able to make sure nobody escapes. Nobody leaves. It wasn't to fight against Hashem. Pen no foots, that's what Pasuk says. Pen no foots, the Netziv says, they wanted to keep everybody together to make sure we all live in the same place and we all think exactly alike and we all do the same things and we're all one uniform nation. And that, says the Netziv, is not Judaism. It's not Yiddishkeit. We believe in diversity. We believe that people can have different shrachim tavodas Hashem. This is the Netziv, the Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin, the open-minded Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin, who says that there have to be different drachim and different paths in going forward. So, Rabbosai, this has only been like the second or third, maybe fourth, third or fourth week that we're learning the Netziv, but as usually happens when we study together, like each week, we delve a little deeper, we get a little bit deeper into the personality of the Netziv. So there's certain things that are coming to the fore here. There's a certain creativity, there's a certain openness to other ways of doing things, to say that a Russia, I didn't really speak about this too much, but to say that a Russia is actually serving Hashem's will, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses a Russia, that even though the person's a wicked person, but Hashem needed that wicked person to do, what implications does that have? But definitely a radical, sounds along the lines of the philosophy of people like Reb Tzadok, right? Reb Tzadok of Lublin, who talks about how, you know, even when you're doing sins, sometimes it's for your good, it ends up being for your good. But anyway, a lot of different ideas here that, and also overriding the importance of that moral dimension of Judaism we started with in the beginning, that it's not just being a nice person, being a good person, but my religious self is supposed to inspire my moral and bein adam lachaver. So I want to wish everyone a great Shabbos, and hopefully you'll join back again next week. Have a good evening and a great Shabbos.